Gracious Father, I do thank you today for the privilege of being your son, and thank you for the privilege of Brother Melvin, who has opened his doors for technology to take the word out for us. We thank you for that. And we allowed our minds to go back to the family and friends of the Christopher Dorton family, and also to those that were killed by whomever they were killed by. We pray that you would remember their families and be merciful unto them. God, we thank you today now for the opportunity to bring your word, and we pray that as we speak your word today, that you would speak to the hearts of those who will hear us. God, we thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Melvin, we are looking today at, I think, a very common area of destruction to a lot of people, and that is to look back in the past rather than moving forward. And so I thought today we are going to share from this thought: don't let your past hold you hostage. Don't let your past hold you hostage. And the way I'm looking at the word hostage is if you look in the dictionary, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. And I've chosen to take several words in the Webster Dictionary and put them together. And I come up with this. And that is one held and manipulated for the good of another. One held and manipulated for the good of another. You often hear of robbers, if they're about to get caught, they will grab somebody who had nothing to do with it. But if they believe that the cops would avoid killing them, if they got this person with them, they'll hold on to that person and hold them hostage until they can get away to become free. So I'm looking at this from the standpoint of how Satan will take advantage of our minds and cause us to look backwards when we should be looking forward, because the Lord Jesus has already bought and paid for all of our sins and given us our freedom, and all we have to do is to believe in the finished work of Jesus on Calvary. And if we can believe in on the finished work of Jesus on Calvary, we can walk free no matter what it is that we have done in the past. Now, so this business of looking in the past can cost you your future. I was given a speech some time ago, in fact, in January, as it relates to Dr. Martin Luther King, and he made a statement, I believe, to Malcolm X, and he said, you know, any man who will value his life so much as that's where his attention goes will not be able to accomplish the mission for which he set out to do, because he'll spend all of his time looking back to protect himself. So what we're doing tonight, what we're looking at this morning, is to get you who are listening with us this morning to recognize the fact that it's time out for looking back and allowing ourselves to get held hostage in an environment of the past for which we cannot have back. And ladies and gentlemen, believe me, I don't care if it's good, I don't care if it's bad. Whatever it is, if it's past, it cannot be done again in the way that it was done the first time. So when it's past, it's past. When it's over, it's over. You know, I was thinking the other day, in a couple of months, if the Lord selects to let me live, I'll be able to celebrate 80 years old. And you know, when I think about that, and yeah, I can still go to the gym. Yes, I can go out and I can lift a few little weights. And yes, I can do a few push-ups. And I can do a little bit of whatever it is that I pretty much want to do. But when it comes down to actually being able to be 20 or 30 years old again, that ain't happening. That time has passed and gone. So it's time for me to recognize the fact that if I keep looking at what it used to be, I ain't going to get it to where it should be. I hope you heard me on that one. So the bottom line is, we cannot allow the past to hold us hostage. Now let me take you to a scripture that the Lord has given me for this. And there's several scriptures, but let's just start, if you would, let's just start with Philippians. I think most of you have heard this at one time or the other. But Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to start with verse 4. Because what Paul has done here is that he has looked at his life in the past, and he's looked at where his mission is leading him. And so when he wrote to the church at Philippi, the Philippians church, he said, "Finally, my brethren, we rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing to you, to me, as indeed is not Erickson, but for you it is saved." Verse 2. And I think he had a widespread meaning on this one. "Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of circumcision. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." In other words, what Paul is saying to us here is that I'm not trying to take you back to before Christ and have you to think that what you need to do is to be circumcised in order to be saved. Uh-uh. He says, ain't no happening. What you need to do is to recognize that if you want to see the face of God, you're going to have to come through Christ Jesus and believe what he has done for you and what he has done for me. Now watch this. Now let's look at Paul, how he looks back. Here you go. He's going to look back and he's going to tell you, I ain't looking back. Did you get that? Let me say it again. He's going to look back, but then he's going to tell you, don't look back, because that don't count. Here how he goes. He says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has reason for which he might trust in the flesh, I the more." Circumcised on the eighth day. Now notice how he did this thing. He did this in the sense of recognizing the fact of how ragged they did it, but he did his consistent with the law. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, and touching the law, a Pharisee. In other words, I obeyed every bit of the law. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. In other words, my whole thing was about making sure that Caesar's law was covered. Touching the righteousness which is in the law. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, all my education, all of my zealousness, all of my being a Pharisee, and all the rest of that stuff, I count it as dung. Or if you please, I count it as loss. Because I cannot allow myself to get caught up and hooked up and become a hostage of my path. Now, he had a very wonderful path. He had a very strong, educated path. He was a man among men. But nevertheless, when he met Jesus, he recognized the fact that all of the stuff that he had done, all of the stuff that he was about, was not going to count for one thing. And that a whole bunch of us are still looking back. And let me tell you this may come over a little funny and may not sound good to you or whatever, but I'm about to say it, so here it comes. Did you know that there's some of us old folks, some of them close to my age? And I say that when you get over around 55 years old and 60 years old, if you ain't knowing nothing, you ain't gonna know nothing. Please excuse my little English grammar here. But the bottom line is, once you get up in age, you can't turn around and act like you a teenager again. If you do that, then you are caught up and you're being held hostage by your mind not being able to turn loose the past and walk in the future. So the Lord is calling upon us to absolutely be clear on the fact that Jesus came, gave his life on our behalf. And when he gave his life, in the process of giving his life, he paid for our past sin, paid for our present sin, paid for our future sin. The last two verses in that scripture, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting." If you're in your car or wherever you are, can you say that with me? "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press toward them all for of a high calling in Christ Jesus." And so the bottom line is, he has overcome his past. He didn't stand around wondering and saying that, yeah, I was a Hebrew of Hebrew. Yeah, I was born of a tribe of Benjamin. Yeah, and he could go on and on. Yeah, I spoke many languages. All of this kind of stuff, he put it in back of him and turned his life around and recognized the fact that what he had done was, if he stayed back there, would be caught as a hostage and never be able to see God. Let me take you to another past scripture, and we're going to run out of time here in the next 2 or 3 minutes. Come with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And I'm going to take you way over there to, actually what I'd like for you all to read is chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. But I'm not going to spend all that time on those, reading those. I'm going to start at 59. Listen what he said. "And he said unto another," this is Jesus now calling people to follow him. "And he said unto another, follow me." Listen what the guy said. "But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." Watch what Jesus said. "And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Let the dead bury the dead, but you go preach the gospel. In other words, look ahead. Go preach the gospel. Okay, verse 61, watch this one. "And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go back and bid my guests farewell who are at my home, at my house." Watch Jesus in verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hands to the plow and looked back, is fit for the kingdom. Now, let's deal with that for a minute or two. Jesus had bid these people to come. They each had an excuse. One says he had to go and bury his father. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. And that has a lot of connotations right there. But he says, what I need you to do is to turn from that, go and preach the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a bunch of us pastors, and I don't know who's listening and or anything like that. But if you are listening and you're a pastor, you got to recognize the fact that the gospel is number one in our lives. And I'm going to be honest with you. You all, many of you have heard my story. And that is, my story is that for a long time, I got caught up and held hostage in trying to make money and doing the things that I felt like that would take care of my family. No, I did not steal from the church in the sense of stealing. But I was really on top of it at Edwards Air Force Base to get up that line and get as much GS behind my name as I could get so that I could take care of my family like I wanted to take care of them. Now, it's not all bad to do that, but what the problem is when you allow it to catch you and make you hostage to that so that the gospel becomes secondary. So we cannot do that. We cannot allow the gospel to become secondary. Okay, now watch the next guy. He says, I'll go with you, but what I really need to do, I have a bunch of guests at my house, and I need to go back and let them know, tell them goodbye. But Jesus said that any man who puts his hand to the plow, any man who says that I'm first and next round, when we look around, when I look around, I'm in the background, that person is not fit for the kingdom. So I say to you today, in closing this message, don't let your past hold you hostage. Let the Lord be first in everything that you do. Father, we thank you and we ask your blessing upon this word today. I pray that you would give your word seed in the hearts of those who heard us this morning, that we would never, ever look back again, but that we would look and bless your name every chance we get to let somebody know that Jesus lived. He died, buried, resurrected, that our sins may be taken care of. And he did that. And all we have to do is to have faith. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Hope that you will come and visit with us some Sunday morning. We are located at 37721 North 100th Street East, just south of Avenue R on 100th Street. And our services start at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. So we'll be looking forward to seeing you one of these Sundays if you're not at your own church. We're not interested in getting anybody out of their church. We're just interested in those who do not have a church family. In addition to that, on the 24th of this month, which is February, at 10 o'clock in the morning, we're having our Black History program at our church. And after that, right after that, about 1 o'clock until about 4 o'clock, we're having what we call a vendors fair. All kind of vendors will be there with all kind of stuff for sale, food and what have you. And it's just a good time. And they also have display, art display, black art and so forth. So if any of you can come visit with us on the 24th, after your church service is over, we'd be glad to have you come and be with us. God bless you. And we hope that you got a thought today that you can take that will free you from looking back. God bless you.